he told us that he will bless us, right? So I'm pretty sure he will bless us. He will do something great in our life. We are on February, and I know it doesn't feel like it, but they say it's a love month. That's why I'm wearing a red tie today. since we are on a love month, so we will try to study about godly love. All right, our verses will be on chapter 12 of Romans. After, we will have some, maybe part two of our series about godly love. But to start, let me tell you a story. All right. One time, an older lady on an airplane, and she was reading her Bible, and the person sitting next to her said, "Do you believe the thing inside what you're reading, that book?" And he said, "Yes, of course. This is the Word of God." So the guy had a question again. "How about that guy who was swallowed by a big fish? Do you believe that?" "Oh yeah, I believe. It's Mr. Jonah. It's the prophet Jonah," he said. "According to the Bible, he was inside the belly of the big fish for 3 days. And do you think he was able to survive?" "What do you think?" he said. And the lady said, "I don't know the answer. But if I meet him in heaven, I will ask him what happened." The guy said, "How about if he's not in heaven? Will you ask him if you see him out there?" He didn't get the story. He didn't get the joke. Anyway.
He didn't get the joke.
It's all very high.
Oh, it's like this. He said, the guy said, the lady said, "I will ask him if I get to heaven what happened inside the belly." Right? And the guy said, "How about if he's not in heaven?" "Well, then you ask him."
Okay.
All right? So you got it? Okay. All right. Okay, anyway. All right. Okay, let's read the verses. I'm sorry.
It's either you're in the smoking or not smoking section.
Okay. All right, let's read Romans chapter 12. All right. Romans chapter 12, it says, "Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality." Wow. I know Filipinos are popular in there. "Bless those who persecute you, and bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited." You know, in another version it says, love should be genuine. You know, Paul is writing to the Romans, but when we study about love, Apostle Paul was, he has a lot of writings and, you know, and teaching about love. In fact, if you will go to the book of Corinthians, he identified, you know, the real essence of love in there, the Christian love. You know, that was especially 1 Corinthians chapter 13, right? Like, that's the love chapter of what we, you know, read most of the time when we mention the word love. We open our Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This morning I want to emphasize on that agape love, which is the character of God. Okay? And the first thing that he mentioned here, love is must be sincere. You know, love is genuine, in other translation actually. When we say genuine, we say of love is without hypocrisy. Love is with genuineness. And love, it does not pretend or to try to be pretending. You know, when we say without hypocrisy, there's a Greek word of they say Hippocrates, which means in other words, in other translation, another meaning. When we say Hippocrates, it means actor. It means acting. It means pretending. You know, it means you are on a play and pretending to be somebody, or you are doing something, but the thing is you just pretending to do that something. Okay? Bible times, there's a lot of actors and actresses on play with the Roman Empire. They have created some magnificent, you know, plaza and having those play. Even at the time of the Roman emperors, you know, they created those big Colosseum, something like that. So that, you know, there's a reason for that when we see all those Colosseum. Because they wanted to, you know, to hold sports, actions, dramas, and plays so that, you know, other people would not stay in their home and then gather around those disciples. And they're trying to stop Christianity at that time to spread out, you know. That's why they're creating those Colosseum, and then they provide spectacles, entertainment to the, you know, the Roman Empire, so that they won't be, they don't have a time to listen to the disciples' teaching, and you know, because the teaching of Christ was dominating that era at that time, you know. So they created those Colosseum. And when we study about the word love on these passages, it means without hypocrisy, without pretensions, without, you know, it's real, it's genuine, it's sincere, it's not acting. Love of God, the love that we have to, you know, to be with, to be identified with, to be identified, is a love without pretending. A love that is, you know, it's not by our inner surface only. It's deep within ourselves, because we are not practicing acting or pretending. You know, at that time they said, Roman Empire time, when actors run for politics, they don't usually win, because the people around them and see them as actors, you know, think that they are just pretending, you know. But in the Philippines, or in other words, if you are a famous actor, if you run for politics, you win. You win, right? You win. You know, most of the time they win a big percentage of our actors who run for politics who win. But at that time, the Roman Empire, those actors, those famous actors, if they run, they usually don't win, because people see that they are just pretending. Okay? They're just trying to be somebody, but in real sense, they're not that person. They're just pretending. Okay? But the love of God is not like that. It's not on the surface only. It's genuine. We are not playing actors. When God say to us that love should be sincere. Love should be, you know, deep within us. And when we are sincere and genuine, we are focused, you know, we are precise in doing the right thing. In doing the right thing, it says, it will never call evil good, it will never rejoice in evil, it will always hate evil. That's the genuine love, you know. We don't cover up evil and call it good. We don't rejoice when something happened, when some bad things happen to a person. You know, we don't rejoice because we never rejoice in evil. And we always hate evil because the Word of God tells us He is the source of righteousness. Now the question is, how do we know that it is evil if we don't know the righteousness of God? Because some people say, oh, it's good, right? Do this, it's good. You know, people are doing this, so it's good, right? People around, oh, look at the people are doing this, and they're rejoicing, you know? They're rejoicing. And when you see people, a lot of times, I hope we don't, but a lot of times, okay, when we see people doing it, okay, we see, right? And then we will just conclude, oh, maybe this is good because people are doing it. Right? We always fall in the sense of what we see. You know? This is our judgment. We see it. Right? People are doing it, so we call it good. But the thing is, a genuine love, okay, a genuine love doesn't call evil good. All right? We always go to the sense, to the source of righteousness, and that is God. When God calls this evil, we call it evil. Now, how do we make sure to know the righteousness of God? This is a challenge for us. So we have to read the Bible, right? We have a challenge to read the Word of God. So we will know if it's that thing or that thing, you know, that's going on around us, it's not of God, right? We have to go to the source of righteousness, and that is God. And if we want to go know the righteousness of God, we have to know the book which God has written for us. We have to go to the source. We have to spend time to the source, from, you know, to know the source of God's righteousness. Right? Because a lot of people are teaching, saying, okay, this is good, this is, you know, this is not evil, a lot of people are doing it. How can we be sure? Okay? How can we be sure that this is, that the things that people are doing is righteous and good, if we don't know the source? So if we want to know the source, we have to consult the source of righteousness. And that is God. The source of morality, which is God. So it's a challenge for us. A challenge for me. I'm sorry. A challenge for us, and a challenge for everybody. We have to spend time reading the Word of God. Alright? Because this is the source. We want to know what is right. We want to know which is good. And another thing, we have to have, sometimes it's not the problem of knowing. You know? Because one of the gifts was given to us, we have a common sense. Something like we can identify things. But sometimes we get, what do you call this? It's not the problem of knowing the truth, knowing, you know, the righteousness of God. But sometimes we're too scared to do what is right. Right? I myself is tempted on that. I know what is right, but sometimes I'm too scared. We don't stand. You know, we always want to compromise. And we are the silent, sometimes silent majority. So we don't want to be bothered. Something like that. But if you are a true believer of the Word of God, and you want to spread the truth about the love of God, we have to stand. We have to make a stand, right? Sometimes in our society right now, I know maybe some people said we'll make a time that they will take a time that people will hate you if you say the right things. They want you to be politically correct. Right? You heard the term, right? Politically correct. And sometimes we're too scared to say something. You know? That's why we keep our silent. We know what is right, but we are too scared. You know, because sometimes, maybe some people said that there comes a time that the government will say to all ministers and pastors that they have to be careful, you know, in preaching, in saying things, because they don't want to offend, you know, a part of our society, because it might offend them, you know, might offend them, or what they, you know, what they practicing or what they saying on their, you know, in their lives. Sometimes, you know, taking a stand has earthly consequences, but we have to stand up for the right thing. We have to stand for the right thing. Even though people don't accept it, I know, but we have to stand up. True believer of God, you know, doesn't compromise the truth. You know, doesn't compromise the truth. I know it's not easy, but we have to. Because the Bible said, it says, it is without hypocrisy, it is with sincerity, it's not pretending. And we are focused to do the right thing if we have the love of God in our lives. We will never call evil good. We will never rejoice in evil. And we will always hate. Mean to say, we try to say the right thing, even if it hurts. Because the right thing is the right thing. And that is of God. Remember, the book of Daniel. I know everybody knows the book of Daniel, right? When they said to worship the God that they created, and you know this three person don't want to worship that image, right? They never compromise the truth. They just want to follow God. They just want to praise God in their life and be true to their identity. They have to stand up, even people hate you. We have to say, this is bad, this is not of God, and this is of God. We have to stand up. We have to say something. We have to do the right thing. You know, and that is the love of God. We don't rejoice when evil things happen. I know it's not easy, but we have to stand up and say, this is not of God. And in verse 10 also, it says over here in verse 10, as you read Romans 12, it says over here, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. God's love, or godly love, displays brotherly affection. The root word of this verse comes from the translation that we feel that we came in the same womb, like brothers, you know, we came in the same mom, we came in the same father, So our brotherly love should be affectionate. Mean to say, we have to show them our affection. We have to not only say in words, but we have to say what we have to, you know, to show it in our action. We belong to the same Heavenly Father, right? Our Father is God, Abba Father. We look up to one Father and we belong to each other. Always loving in spite of differences. We're 8 in the family. That's a lot. We have differences. You know, from my oldest sister to my youngest sister, we are all different, but we belong in the same family. Just like the church. You know, we have the same Father, which is God, and we are differences. We have differences, but we love each other. We are affectionate to each other in spite of differences, in spite of different personalities, in spite of different, you know, way of thinking, in spite of different, so many things in our life, because none person is the same. We are created unique. You know, we are a different person from our sister and brothers. And the fact that we are washed in the blood of God, of Christ, we have a blood connection, actually. You know, we have a blood connection, that we are washed in the blood of Christ. So we have to be affectionate to each with one another, right? How many times we say we love our brothers and sisters? For example, we are here, right? How many times did we mention to our brothers and sisters that we met every time we come here at church that we love them? We have to tell them we love them. I know, telling you personally, I told my kids every time I had a chance, I love them. I know sometimes my son look at me, Dad, so I grown up, you still telling me that? No, I always tell my kids, I love them. I don't know, they don't want to hear it, but I tell them every time, I love them. Even on the phone, I tell them, I love them, you know. At church, we have to also say to our brothers and sisters that we love them and we are affectionate, you know, to them. And we tell them in genuineness of our spirit that we love them. We don't tell them because, oh, everybody everybody want to tell that person we love them. No, we tell them because we do and we are sincere in telling them that we love them. Because we belong to each other. Our Father is Abba. And we are affectionate to them. Alright? And then also our love, godly love, and our love should be seen and felt. Or maybe it should be said, it should be known, and should be felt. Right? I know it's easy to say, oh, I love you. I love you as my sister. I love you as my brother. Can you say that right now? Can you say it? Can you say it in the next person to us? Please? Can we say it now? I love you, my sisters and brothers. I love you, right? 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 It should be known. You know? Yeah? It should be known. It should be felt. Yes? It should be known. It should be said. And it should be felt.
It's very dangerous. Don't be very careful with
it. Yep. I agree with that, but you know, we have to say to our brothers. They have to know. It's like when we are a family, right? You never, you know, sometimes kids said, you never said you love me. I never felt it.
No, but you can say no to love. Just say it.
I never tell them. But as brothers and sisters in Christ, we have to show them.
Amen.
Right? They should be, you know, they should feel that we love them. Be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourselves. It's a challenge for us. Yes.
Love your brother as yourself.
Yeah. It should be an affectionate love. I mean to say, all of us have needs in life, and we should be there to love them. We should always tell our brothers. I know an example for who always say that I love you, right? Brother Alex Pomon. He's the guy who always greets you and say, I love you. Yeah. Even in public, he will say that. Even a lot of people will hear it, he will say as it is. And he always, always do something for you. I remember when I got stranded at work, my car doesn't start. I just gave a phone call, one call. The next couple of hours, he's there. Is there? What can I do for you, brother? And all of us, a lot of us who knows it, had a one-time experience. I know one brother's son got stranded also at Manhattan. The car won't start or had an accident, and he needs something. Just one phone call, few hours from his house to Manhattan, he was there. Love should be said, love should be known, and love should be felt. It has to be with action. You know why? Let me tell you. When God loves you, He showed His action. He showed His action. He died on the cross for you and me. He didn't hesitate to do that. And he was showing us a good example. The best example we can have to follow. God's love for us. That's why when we say, I love God, please. It should be felt. It should be known. And it's a challenge for us. A lot of times we say, I love you, God. God should know it. God should feel it. Right? Because God loved us and showed us the true essence of love. Okay, so this is a challenge for everybody. I keep repeating myself. So if you love God, you should be felt by God. Yeah, and, you know, God is not around. I mean, personally, but we can always show Him that we love God. Alright, so let's offer a prayer and let's bow our heads. God, they say it's a love month. But me personally, it doesn't matter, oh God, but keep saying we love you, but most of the time we say no. And I don't know if you being confused by our message, or oh God, help us to back up our words with actions, oh God. I know there's a lot of hindrances along the way that don't back up our words, oh God, and we end up doing nothing, oh God. But I pray today, but when we mention we love God and we love our brothers, we have to back it up with our actions. And we are sincere and genuine. We're not pretending. We're not pretentious. But please help us, oh God, through the power of the Holy Spirit to do all those things. Yeah, I know it won't be easy because sometimes love has consequences. People will hate us, actually, if we say the right things. We will correct them because we love them. And we will tell them, this is the word of God. And people will laugh at us. And sometimes we will accuse us of being hateful. And we will end up with consequences of people will identify us with hate, at times hate crimes maybe, oh God, because we're against those things. But still, we have to stand up in fear and sharing your word, oh God. May we be loving in doing so, just like you died on the cross for us. Bless us today and help us create an environment that people will see us as an ambassador of Christ in our community. Thank you so much today, oh God. And help us to be strong and not compromising and not pretending. All these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we have a song of invitation.